G'day everyone and welcome to a DUC Migrating to Australia podcast. On this episode, I'm joined by Al McLean. Al and her husband, Alfie, had a long visa process through COVID. And in January this year, 2024, they got the 190 visa granted. Like I say, it's a long journey. They started the process with us in 2020. So Al, welcome.
Hello.
I must say, you're the most professional looking person I've interviewed because you're doing it from your place of work. And where are you located at the moment?
So I'm currently in Brentwood, Essex.
Nice. Nice. And you're doing this from the office, which is kind of cheeky, I guess. But you got the headset on, you're looking well.
Yes.
So it does, it's interesting. It's good. Yeah. It's good.
I'm taking full advantage of the office and the meeting rooms.
You are. Now, for the DUC clients on here, Al's the lovely lady who put together that that YouTube. Just run through what you created because it was really inspirational.
Oh, thank you. So since the beginning of our process, I've kind of just picked up the camera and recorded on and off from like key moments. And then I kind of cropped that all together at the end once we got our visa. And it was just amazing for myself to look back on, actually, to see from the start to the end and how long it took, especially. So, I kind of cropped that together and then put it on the DUC on Facebook.
It was amazing. You made lots of people cry in a good way, but you really did. Even my wife, she was like, that's really, really good. So me being me, the first thing I did was like, hey, can we please share this? And what was your reply?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Well, at first we hadn't told certain family members, so I just said, if you don't mind waiting, just so that we can, spread the news across the family. But, and here we are.
And you didn't tell family members for what reason?
It wasn't a case of not, so they kind of knew throughout the, so this has been a four-year process. They've known throughout that it's on the cards and that we was trying to get our visa. But when we got the grant, we were just holding back a little bit to tell. It was finding the right times to tell people, which now I look back and I think there is never a right time. But also we've got family members kind of scattered around. So it was just making sure that everyone knew before we went ahead to do like podcasts or share videos, things like that, out of respect, really.
No, good call. Good call. Yeah. Like I said, it was such a cool little thing that you made up. Yeah, I reckon it's, I don't know how much, like the migration community is pretty big. There's lots of Facebook groups and it is a large community because many people that migrate sort of stay in it because it is such an emotional journey that it is interesting to find. I guess that's why we do these podcasts. So, you know, we say 4 years. You were probably a victim of the COVID, the long wait through COVID.
Yes,
is that correct?
Yes, unfortunately so, yeah.
So how was that? Like when COVID hit, what part of the process were you at, Al?
So we actually started like at the beginning of March and then COVID was on like the 23rd of March. So we started just at the beginning. We had had the call with Jenny just to kind of put a feelers in to see whether it was even possible for us to get a visa. And then, it started from then. And then unfortunately COVID hit and straight away it pretty much put a stop to the visa.
Who's the main applicant? Let's just talk about your background. So who's the main applicant? And what's your occupation?
Yeah, that's me for the main applicant. So I'm facilities manager.
Perfect. And process of skills assessment, how did you go about doing the skills assessment?
We was going in for a 491 visa. Skills assessment, that was fine. I just had to get some qualifications changed over. So I had to get a certificate.
You got your certificate free?
No, we had to pay for the certificate.
Okay. Like, are you talking about your Australian certificate, L?
No, this was for the skills assessment. I had to do like a qualification. I've forgotten what it was called now. I've written all my notes down, but that was the one bit I hadn't written down.
No, that's okay. Do you mean an Australian qualification or you had the UK one already?
Yeah, noticed in Australia for part of the visa, we had to get it kind of changed over. So I had to work. It was someone from the DUC centre helped me.
Yeah, so we got you a certificate 3 and probably, project development or, you know, so basically you acquired a relevant qualification to be eligible to then apply for your skills assessment via VetAssess.
Yes, that's it, yeah.
So you had the years of evidence, you know, you had the history and the years of experience, but you just needed the Australian qualification to get a successful skills assessment. So, all right, cool. So you got that done. And I like to ask this question, what English score did you get?
Oh, do you know what? I don't actually have that written down, but I got I got 10 points and not the the best one.
So you got proficient English?
Yeah, proficient, that's the one, yeah.
Cool. Now, you mentioned you were looking for a 491, but you ended up coming out with a 190.
Yes. I still, to this moment, have no idea how we've managed that.
Oh, well, that's what Jenny Baker does, doesn't she?
She is incredible, yes.
That's the beauty of it. It's an amazing visa. It's a permanent residency visa. So,
yeah.
All right, so you're the main applicant. Let's talk about husband Alfie. What's he do for work?
So at the time, he was actually an asbestos analyst. So he worked in the asbestos trade. But in the last, I'd say, 2-3 years, he's changed over to be an air conditioning engineer.
Nice, nice. So he's got a bit of qualification transferring over when he gets here, if he opts to be in that occupation. You know, whose idea was it to start this long-winded journey that took 4 years for the for the visa to come through?
So I'd say it's pretty joint. Me and my husband have been together actually 15 years this year, so we've been together since we were 14. Wow. And I just remember back in the day, we would watch like I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. We'd love it with like Anton Deck, and he'd always say about like he wants to move there one day, but I'm quite a home girl, and he was like, I just know you'd never leave your mum. So it was just something that we never really discussed. And then the year of 2020, so just before we had submitted for the whole process, we was watching some vlogs on YouTube. A family called Fly the Nest. I don't know if you're aware of them, but they're quite famous. They're Australian. So we was watching some of their vlogs, and I said about, oh, I'd love to go there on holiday. And Alfie's always said, if we're going there, we're never coming back. So he was never interested in just the holiday. It was always a case of, if we're going there, we're never coming back. I kind of just said, you know what? I think I could do it. I think I could move away. And we're just one of those. Once we get an idea, we just go with it pretty much instantly. So went online, found the DUC Centre on Google, and then, went in for the call, spoke to Jenny, and kind of just, got to speaking on our options and went from there.
It's pretty good. It's a fair. I've never had someone say that they migrated because I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Does he like lie down at night time and you pour spiders and snakes on him or anything like that? He hasn't got like some sort of creepy crawly fetish?
Definitely not. I'm actually petrified of critters. That's my probably biggest fear about moving over, is I'm scared of ants. So
ants everywhere here.
I know. Anything with more than four legs, I freak out, even ladybirds, so I don't know how I'm going to be.
Oh, look, ladybirds, mate, when you get a pool, the ladybird just appears on your shoulder. It's just happens. What happens in Victoria. Anyway, you've actually got like a bit of a famous name in Australia. I don't know if you know the Al McPherson.
Yes, that's who I was actually named after.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
So my name is actually Ellie. But my dad wanted it spelt like L because of L McPherson. So then my mum and dad kind of settled for that.
All right. For the younger viewers out there and all that, L McPherson was like probably Australia's largest top model. I remember being a teenager and she brought out some L McPherson calendar that I reckon probably sold more copies of everything. But there you go. Well, there you go. You're named after Al McPherson.
And I come out complete opposite, 5 foot, not a model.
There you go. Well, I wish I could say I was named after Wesley Snipes and I came out a bit different as well, you know, not famous, muscly or anything like that. Okay, cool. So look, you're now in your office in the UK. When's the plans? When are you looking to come over to Oz?
So we move on the 30th of May, so next month, we can officially say.
All right. So you've started the move. You've so you booked your tickets.
Yep, all booked.
Yep, you've got your tickets booked. And what have we done to, because you must be organised. I tip in, Al, you'd be organised. What have you done so far?
So, yeah, I am pretty organised. I'd say like I'm a messy organised, if that even makes sense. So I've got my little list together of all the things that we need to do. So the biggest thing at the moment is moving out of our house. So because the visa has taken 4 years, we've actually been renting this whole time because we knew that we was not wanting to buy and settle down here. So actually that side of it's been pretty easy. We just hand our notice in for the rent and we move out in 2 weeks. So the plan is to move in with parents during that time. So we're going to split it, do 2 weeks at my husband's parents and then 2 weeks at my own parents.
Nice.
And then at the moment, the biggest thing is just selling things, kind of taking things to the rubbish dump, doing boot fairs.
Sorry, Al, what things are we selling? What are you selling? What are you bringing? Like, are you selling couches? Are you selling furniture?
Yes. So we're completely selling all our furniture. The only thing we are bringing are 2 suitcases each to Australia. Nice.
So yeah. A fresh start. And where's where are you arriving? Which state?
Brisbane.
Okay. Which area?
Yeah. So we got heading for the Gold Coast.
Okay. Any particular reason?
Well, we've never been to Australia, which is again pretty mad. But when we've done our research over the years, and I think the Gold Coast just seems to be out of all of the places where we can kind of picture ourselves, like lifestyle wise, it's got a bit of everything. Obviously, you've got the beach, you've got the city, you've got like the tropical jungly side of it. So yeah, you'll we just that. Think we're going to be more. So yeah, with all the bugs.
That Alfie written all over it.
Yeah. So yeah, we just think we're going to be more settled there. But again, we're going very open-minded. If we get there and kind of we're going to give it a little while, we can always move to a different state and try different areas.
Look, a few of the podcasts we've done, that seems to be, you know, what happens and why not, you know?
Yeah.
You come over here, it's, you know, I think, look, you've got good occupations, you're a good age and you've got good attitude as well. So I think anything can happen with that. Going back a bit, like I know when the pandemic was on, we used to have trivia nights and all that. Did you ever attend some of our trivia nights? We put all our clients together and did you ever do any of them?
We did attend one of those actually.
Yeah, they were really fun then. We put all of them.
Yeah.
It was hard to manage that thing. I had like four different we divided for the people listening, we divided the we basically said you join the team of the state you're in, and then we allocated a captain, or they chose a captain, however it happened, and then I would email the questions to the captain. And the captain, because it's the pandemic, everyone was on Zoom doing it from their home, and then the captain would then have a conversation with their Zoom group. So the captain of Western Australia is having a chat with their Zoom group, and the guy in Queensland having it. So I've actually have like four devices or five devices all going coordinated, which was fun for probably the first I'd say half an hour, and then after that it actually turned into quite a few drinking games. People were giving the best Aussie accents, and then towards the end we actually merged and joined one Zoom, and there was quite a few intoxicated people at the end. I'm not sure if you're on one of them where like you probably don't. Do you remember which one, who was your captain?
I can't remember. No, this was going way back now. But I remember on the Facebook page the next day seeing comments of people not feeling so great.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's fun. It's bringing back so many memories. But so, look, that's how we, I guess, you know, I think everyone played a part in Zoom and trivia nights in the pandemic. But how did you, you know, what did you guys do? Did you, were you thinking, no, let's scrap the move? Or, you know, like what sort of kept you going? What, did you have motivation?
It was really hard because we had got to that point of, we hadn't submitted our EOI yet at all and there was kind of no movement. It was just, I remember it was in the summer actually. That summer we was allowed to actually go back out, and that's when we had first told our friends, we've got like a big group of friends, that we was going ahead with the move. It was just YouTube, honestly, has been our biggest thing, just watching vlogs that kind of keeps that fire burning of watching other people's moves and their lifestyle. And that's, we've just had to really keep watching those videos to keep pushing us.
What do you call them? Watching what?
Like YouTube videos, vlogs.
How do you spell that?
VLOGS. Yeah, vlog.
Not a problem. The accent got me because I thought you said flogs, and that's something different in Australia.
Earlier,
I'm like, well, that's a little bit different. There's a few word things that will happen that will change. But anyway, okay, cool. Yeah, so you did that. You had a group of mates. Did you ever get to a point where you were like, you know, let's just get the house, let's stop? Because I know lots of people did and have come back, but how did you go?
Yeah, we did get to that point. So it got to about 2 years and we had heard nothing. So I'd still be speaking to Jenny to kind of say like any update, and she'd say, unfortunately not. And actually in January 2022, I believe it was, we got married in that time. So we decided to get married, which was wonderful. And then, yeah, January 2022, we found a house that we liked, and we was getting ready to get that. Oh, actually, do you know what? I think this might have actually been January 2023. It was. Okay. It was January 2023 that we was going to get a house. So it'd been quite a few years. And then the week before we was going to sign the contract, we got the call from Jenny to say that we'd been nominated by New South Wales for our 190.
Wow.
So we had kind of a week to decide whether we're definitely going to go ahead with Oz or not. And we, cancelled the house and stuck on that path.
Was it a tight race though? Was it like sort of close, or was it just, nah, we're going? Or were you like, oh, we're close, we've got the deposit, we're house? Because by that stage, your mind starts thinking different things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. No, I think for us, that was just a sign to say that's what we're meant to do. So it was kind of like, do you know what? We're just going to do it. And I think that's what's made it hardest for our family, is that they then thought there was a chance we were staying, for them to then turn around and say, actually, we're not getting the house and we are going ahead with Australia. I think that's where it kind of got a bit funny in the family.
Have any family members, you know, obviously we don't name them, but have you had pressure from family members to stay? Has it been felt difficult, or you got full support from them?
No. Do you know what? They've been really supportive. And I can completely understand it's hard for them. Me and my husband, we're both very close to our parents. So even to tell them was really hard for us.
How did you tell them?
At the beginning of it, it was kind of just to say, oh, look, we're looking to possibly go. We're going to try and get a visa. Of course, they didn't take it great, and they got upset in the sense of like, why would you want to do that kind of thing?
Sorry, Al, going back.
But now as they've had.
Sorry, just going to say, when you tell them, right, did you go and sit down together and sort of say, hey, guys, we've got a big announcement? Or was it just like a general, hey, we're thinking about moving to Oz and letting it sink in? Or was it, we're committed to this?
I speak to my mum like multiple times a day on the phone. Like I tell my mum everything, like what I'm having for lunch. So I kind of just told my mum over the phone and said, look, we're looking to do this. Yeah, so with my mum, it was just kind of over the phone. With my husband's parents, we went and sat down and spoke to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're kind of two very different ways of going about things with each parent.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Because they're probably, the Alfie's parents probably think, oh, here we go, grandkids are on the way. And then they're like, no.
Yes, that kids in fact, that probably has been the hardest part, yes, that the with the grandkids, that they was hoping for that. But yeah.
It is. It's reality of a big move, isn't it? It is. It's such an emotional thing. Like it's just nuts. Someone put on the DUC club the other day, everyone on here is so brave and just so, you know, I'm so proud of you all, no matter what stage you're at. And it's just so many people we're just grateful. It kicks in. I forget.
I think with my mum as well, like I'm my mum's only child, whereas my husband's mum and dad, they've got another daughter and they've got three grandkids already. It's really hard for my mum, of course, in that sense. Not that it's not for my parents' mum and dad, of course, but she's not got grandkids at all. She has always said to me growing up, like, why would you want to bring kids into the world like in England? She kind of has always said that where the crime's gotten so bad over here and things like that, she's just like, I just don't know why you do it. And then obviously Australia come up, and then it kind of went the opposite of, why are you going, like taking the grandkids away if you do have them? But as the 4 years have gone on, I think my mum really has come to terms with it, in the case of, actually, if I do have kids out there, the quality of life for them is going to be better. Obviously, just the only bad thing is that they're just not going to be around family.
It is. It's a horrible thing. I mean, we took a Oh, wow. What? Jet turns 8 on the weekend. So we took a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old out of, you know, away from my wife's family. And that was horrible. Like, I hated it. And
yeah.
They haven't come over yet. Like, they're not, she's not a big flyer, Nana Lynn. So, you know, not that anyone's a big flyer, I guess, but she doesn't like planes. So, yeah, it's been hard. And we try to get back there. And you say to yourself, oh, we'll get back every year and everything. But there's a massive cost to it. And that flight. Yeah. That flight's when you get here, Al, you'll be like, that's one good flight. Like, when you're juggling kids, and we've grown as a family. Little Jazz is one, and you know, the grandparents were just so good with the two boys, and now the boys have a sister, and they have, you know, they haven't seen them, but we're very grateful that, you know, they're coming over early next year, I believe. And
oh,
you know,
lovely.
It's good, but it's so hard. But every, you know, you're close with your mum, my wife's close with her mum, and it's amazing how cool, like, the video conversations are. Like, when I was in the UK, I probably spoke to my family more in the UK, just catching up over, you know, video calls and all that, than what I do when I'm here. It is different,
yeah.
But you do get used to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's that new way of living, isn't it? And, yeah, settling in. And I guess with the time difference, I can't just call my mum kind of whenever, like midday. It kind of has to be scheduled now, I guess.
That's it. And, you know, like, people got to remember, like, you know, Australia's, you know, I think it's a great country. I think the UK, living there was awesome as well. You know, Australia, still got to pay taxes, still got to get up every day and work. You know,
yeah.
There's still, you know, there is crime, I guess. You know, it's not everything we see on Home and Away and Neighbours and
yeah.
everything like that. Or
yeah,
I'll get me out, I'm a celebrity. It's yeah. You know, it is. It's but it has got, when, you know, I probably say the same thing every webinar, but we're very blessed where we are, and just the kids have what they've done in this short period of time and how well they've adjusted, that, yeah, it's definitely home and a decision that our family feel that was the right one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we, like I said, we're going there very open-minded. We don't have high expectations or expect this whole new lifestyle as such. Obviously, we are going for a different lifestyle, but we don't expect this, like, all roses and rainbows and fairies kind of thing. We're going very open-minded, knowing that we might struggle to get jobs, or the homesickness might kick in and actually end up bringing us back. Like, we're going not knowing what's going to happen, but we've said we're definitely going to give it a year to 2 years to try and settle in and figure out like our new path. And yeah, if we don't like it, we come back. It's as simple as.
What is the new path? What is it? What are we doing? Because I reckon we'll have another chat in a couple of years. We might do this. So it's nice to revisit people where they're at. So what's the new life for Al and Alfie going to look like?
I think we're very outdoors people. So having better weather is definitely going to be something positive for us. I just think the weather here, it is so negative. It's just probably a good 9 months over here. It's just not nice weather, and it does stop you from doing things. So I think it's just the weather's going to bring more adventure, a lot of travel. So we'd love to definitely get like a camper van, like build our own van and travel around with the dog. Career-wise, I think we'd like to stay kind of in our careers that we're in, but there could be new opportunity out there. Also, I love social media, so I kind of branching into that. So I feel like it could bring me new opportunities in social media.
That's exciting. It's good.
Yeah.
You mentioned you have a four-legged friend then. So what's the plan with the dog? Obviously the dog, like, well, what breed of dog have you got? How old? What's the dog's name? So many questions about the dog.
So he's a corgi and his name is Ziggy. And he actually turns 3 years old the day after he gets out of quarantine. So I'm going to have to throw him a big, big party when he's out.
It's not cheap getting a pet over, is it?
No. So this is actually the one thing that me and my husband have had a little bit of not an argument, but he loves the dog to pieces. But when he found out how much it was to take the dog, I think he nearly had a heart attack. But for me, it was an absolute non-negotiable. If we're going, the dog's coming with us. I mean, we have had people here, like family, say that they'd keep him because he is just the most lovable bundle of joy. So anyone would want him. But for me, that was an absolute, we're taking the dog.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Like it is. What's I mean, you don't have to share this, but you know, what were your sort of what costs you're looking at? Rough costs in total.
So £6,000.
£6,000. And what would the journey look like for the, you know, for Ziggy? You know, how much time away? Like, you know, what's the process to your knowledge?
Yeah, so he's had to have like quite a few blood tests and stuff for rabies, so that bit's not been very nice, watching him kind of get prodded and poked. And then he has his final blood tests in 3 weeks, and that's for, I think it's Lepo or Lepo, I don't know how you say it. But his flights will get booked in the next couple of weeks, and he actually flies out on the 22nd of May. He gets taken to Melbourne, and then he does 30 days quarantine there, and then he'll get flown from Melbourne to Brisbane.
Wow.
To meet us. Wow. And I will be there waiting with open arms.
Yeah, I bet. Well, you can teach him all about quarantine, can't you? You know, what it's like.
Oh, being stuck in, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with COVID and stuff.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Oh, that's good. No, though. I think you'll see all the other stories with pets and everything like that. As soon as you open the cage and they get running on those beaches, it's game on for them. It's their paradise, isn't it? Chasing, you know, jumping out in the waves and all that. Like it gets annoying, some of the pets here. Like when we do the footy training and that, trying to coach the kids, and you've got all these dogs running around and everything. But it's man's best friend over here. That's just what it is. Like you know, I would say most tradies that are working by themselves have a pet, you know, a dog, you know, run, you know, like with them by their side. It's it's how it works. It's good.
I keep saying to him, actually, even though he doesn't understand me, I'm saying sound like a crazy lady, but I'm always saying to him, like, not long and you're gonna have like sandy paws, like running on the beach. And he looks at me like I'm mad.
No, well, you know, but he will. That's the he's just gonna. It's awesome when they go there. They've got some really cool dog beaches and everything like that.
That was something that was sent to us actually by Tanya, who's the relocation for you guys for Queensland. She had sent us over in our PowerPoint, like, all dog-friendly beaches and all dog areas, which was really nice part of that package, actually.
Do you call her Tanya?
Is it Tanya?
Tanya, yeah.
Tanya.
Well, look, I've been calling her Tanya for a while, but I think, I could try Tanya and see what she says. But yes, Tanya, that's really cool though. She went, that's really nice of her to do that, because was there many? Is there like lots to choose from?
Yeah, there was loads on there. She even sent like the links and stuff as well so that we could click on them and like really research into it. It was really helpful.
People over here, they take their dogs to like caravan parks, which are made for dogs. And they're like sort of we've got a few friends that do it, and they're like, oh, we just take, you know, we're, you know, treating the dog, we're going on, and they just play with other dogs, and they've got like little dog slides and everything, like
a dog holiday.
When I traveled Oz, you know, that was, so many people just had pets. Like, you know, most caravan parks are pet friendly. Like, it's just what it is. So it is good. I think Ziggy's going to have a really good time. And for yourself, like, you know, obviously it's been stressful. Look, you know, the pandemic and everything like that, skills assessment, English test, doing it with all the stress and waiting and all that. At this point, how you're feeling now, you know, with getting your visa granted, you know, arriving in May, would you do it all again?
Oh, I think maybe ask me that in like a year's time. No, do you know what? I think we would. Obviously, it really hasn't been an easy ride, and it has been a roller coaster of emotions. But I just think, it's something that we've got to do. If we don't do it, we'll regret it. Whereas we're not going to regret doing it. It's kind of our little motto that we live by. I think I would definitely do it all again.
So, have you got a place to go to when you get here?
So we was actually. We met a family around 6 years ago in Dominican Republic, and we've not seen them since, but kind of followed them on Facebook and stuff. And she was originally from Australia, the lady, and he is British. And we had seen on Facebook that a couple of years ago they moved back to Australia and they moved to the Gold Coast. So we'd actually, when we got our visa granted in January, we actually wrote to them to say, like, oh my gosh, it would be lovely to come and see you guys when we get out there. And then they arranged a video call with us, and they showed us around our their house and stuff. And they said, look, we've got a room with an ensuite and a dressing room, and we'd be happy to rent it to you just to get you started off. So we kind of come off that call and had a little think, and that's actually going to help us so much. So we're super grateful for that. So we've actually agreed, and we're going to go and live with them for a little while.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really good.
And they actually come back to the UK. So we haven't seen them in this whole 6 years. They come back last week for a little while, and we went and had dinner with them. And yeah, it's going to be good. They're so chilled out and laid back. So it'll be nice to actually get there and have some friends as well, because originally we didn't know anybody in Australia.
Oh, that's cool. They have heaps of meetups in Queensland.
Yeah, we've been following those.
Tanya
actually.
Lady has them all the time. She organises them.
Oh,
all
I hope
the
she
time.
Doesn't listen to this and hear me say that.
She better listen to it. A little special notice to you, Tanya. I like that name, Tanya. Yeah, no, that's cool. Like it's exciting. It sounds like it's all it's really going to work for you and all that. You know, on a financial side and everything like that, because you guys are quite a young couple, really. You know, when you started, you know, 4 years ago, and you, I did the maths when you said how long you've been together for and everything like that.
Yeah.
So you're quite young. Financially, when yous are coming over and all that, you know, you guys feel secure. Have you got sort of like a little budget in mind that you've sort of, you know, that you wanted to sort of feel comfortable with for the first few months? Have you got like a figure in mind?
Not so much a figure as such. We've got like our savings and things, and we're happy with that. Like we're quite, yeah, we would like to travel for like 2 to 3 weeks to kind of not start off having jobs straight away. But yeah, within a month we would like to have secured a job, fingers crossed. Yeah, I suppose we've got our budget in the sense of like we're staying with this family for like a couple of months, so we know obviously rent wise how much we're going to be paying them and stuff.
Yeah.
But then we're kind of looking at whether to then rent our own place or just go straight in and buy. We're kind of really, yeah, not knowing what to do there at the minute.
Yeah. Oh, we'll have a chat with Stay Rent Buy and try and see what happens with, you know, it's really hard. Like, you know, you've got the best visa and a PR visa. It's just like, you know, getting the loans and everything like that, getting job security, yeah. You know, getting job security. You speak to some people.
Yeah, that's probably our biggest worry is the job security.
Have you started looking into jobs?
I have, yes. I've been just kind of, I've joined Seek, and also I know you guys have got that, I've forgotten what it's called.
The Employment Hub.
Yeah, the Employment Hub, that's the one. So I've joined that, revamped my CV. So I'm kind of just looking, but where we're still a couple of months till we go, I know we're not going to get any interest at the moment. But yeah, I am just having a little look around, and there is loads of jobs, which is good.
Yeah, it's good. It's really hard because like there's different industries in it, obviously, and everything like that. I think your partner on the air conditioning side will be good. One of the challenges he'll face is it's a licensed occupation over here. And Queensland, you know, the regulator over there they're probably one of the toughest regulators when it comes to your licensed trades in Queensland.
Yeah.
So it's something that he's going to have to be a little bit aware of. But, you know, you're on the PR visa, so it'd be interesting to see how – and he's only sort of started that, you know, what a TAFE for if you can get like an RPL sorted with his qualification.
Yes. Yeah, I know he's been looking into that and speaking to a lot of people, like connecting. I think there was like a fast-tracked version he can do, which maybe he can get it done within 6 months to a year and get his license.
Yeah, it really varies what refrigeration license he wants. You know, does he just it's different, but that's it's good, and it will be a good like especially over there, you know, or up there over there, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to need the air conditioning. I think Queensland had a bit of a poor summer. I think South Australia had a nice hot summer, and WA had a very hot summer. But unfortunately, the upper east of Australia was quite wet. Have you thought about obviously the Gold Coast was your initial place, and that's where you're going to go. And you said earlier that if it doesn't work out there, have you got like a backup? Have you sort of got like we're also thinking about this state?
Yeah, so within Queensland, we'd like to also go and have a look at like Sunshine Coast.
Yep.
But if we were to go to a completely different state, we've been kind of, I've forgotten who it was, somebody from the DUC did mention it, which was New South Wales, Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, Newcastle's cool.
Yeah, so that was another place, but and Adelaide as well actually was another place that we definitely would want to go and have a little look at.
Mate, everyone, Adelaide's like, I don't know, Adelaide's become this like little secret spot where lots of our clients go there, and they're like they love it. It's
yeah,
good.
So no, that's definitely somewhere. And I've actually found out I've got some family in Adelaide, which I didn't even know existed. So I'd definitely like to go and meet them.
Yeah, that's what's cool about it. That's what's cool. I remember when my dad passed, I actually went to Holland. He was born in Holland and moved when he was one to Australia. There's a fun fact for you. It was 15 days on the ship that he went on.
Oh, wow.
But I actually rocked up at the place. He was born at home, my dad. I actually rocked up to the place when I first met my wife. We actually went there and visited the place he was born. It was so cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's so lovely.
We had one of his schoolmates who came to see my dad, you know, and just for a visit from Holland. So we ended up meeting with him, and he, you know, obviously there's a, I don't speak Dutch, and my partner doesn't speak Dutch. So he went and showed, we knocked on the door, and I remember I took a bit of, me being clever, I thought, oh, I'll take a bit of bark from this big tree that was there, thinking, oh, that was probably there when, you know, when Dad was there and everything like that.
Yeah, sentimental.
Yeah, and then I forgot, like, oh, you got to bring it in through customs, don't you? Should have tried to take something else. But anyway, yeah, it is cool when you can, when you reconnect with all that stuff. So, but Al, I just want to thank you for taking the time to chat with us. And I really hope you, Alfie and Ziggy, make a really good life of it. You mentioned before that you're probably messy organized. I think you are quite organized with it. And I think what you want to achieve makes it messy, which is really exciting. And I hope you don't have to put those boundaries up. And if that 2-week holiday turns into a little bit more, you know, go out there and explore it. Because if you've got that opportunity to do it before you settle down and work, why not, eh? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so many people have recommended that, to try and just chill out before you set back into normal living ways.
You'd be surprised at all the free stuff that you do. Like, you know, like if you look at, you know, you can go for a surf for 4 hours, it costs you nothing.
I think that's another part of it. There's so much to do there that doesn't cost anything, like barbecues on the beach and things like that, and just going for hikes. And over here, if you're going to do something, it's most of the time it's going to cost you, because it has to be indoors because the weather's not great.
Yeah, just with the barbecues on the beach, Al, just don't run around pinching other people's snags and all that. Make sure you bring your own ones and cook them yourself. No, you're right, though. It is good. And especially on the Gold Coast, they're everywhere, and they've got all these exercise along the beach, like these little outside gym equipment stuff. That's what I remember seeing, like thinking, wow, there's so many, like there's just, like they're just everywhere along the Gold Coast.
It appears that it's a very active country. And I actually do personal training on the side, so I'm very into my fitness. So that side of it as well, I think I'm going to love over there.
Yeah, it's so good. You figure out ways how you can live for like hardly anything each day. But again, look, you know, we've got to manage expectations. You know, food, you know, the cost of living's gone up, I guess, like it has for most countries and everything like that. But when you're doing that traveling, you just got to make sure that you're, like I used to love it, just not spending money sometimes and just seeing how long I could go just where I wouldn't have to work. Obviously, this is pre-kids. I would travel in Oz, and you'd work for, sometimes I'd work for like 3 months, save some money and just be off for, you know, another 4 months and just, you know, live off like $7 a day, you know, including sort of accommodation, because you've got lots of free camps and everything as well. So this is so exciting. I love doing these podcasts now. I get... Yeah, you got such a cool journey ahead of you, Al. So, look, wishing you all the best from everyone who's listening and all that. And I look forward to catching up in a bit, and safe travels. And thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for inviting me to do this today. And again, just thank you to the DUC Club for everything they've done, because we wouldn't have been able to do this without you guys. So,
that's good, mate. We're lucky. We're very blessed. We get some amazing clients and that. You guys do the work. We just got the pleasure of assisting you. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed this this episode of the DUC Migrating to Australia podcast with Al. And we'll catch you on the next one. Take it easy, guys.